This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
Good afternoon. I'm Carol Crist. I'm the director of the Center for Studies in Higher Education. I'm delighted to welcome you here for our program this afternoon. We're so lucky to have Pamela Brown here. Pamela Brown is a triple Berkeley product. She got her bachelor's degree here in mathematics,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
And then she got a master's of public policy, and she worked on the Berkeley campus for, I think, 16 years.
Yes.
Am I right about that? And Pamela then caught the eye, as some wonderful people do, of the office of the president. And so she then went to the office of the president to become the vice president for institutional research and planning. I've gotten to know Pamela a little bit since I've come back to campus, and I've been so impressed with how smart she is, how much she sees data at the service of important questions that we all want to answer. It's such a treat that she's agreed to come here and talk to us today on the Accountability Report, this great volume that the Office of the President publishes every year. I've now read it from cover to cover. It is full of interesting stuff.
I'm beclamped now.
And I'm really delighted that she's agreed to talk with us about it today.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you. God, reading it cover to cover, you had a lot of coffee, didn't you?
No, a long plane flight.
Oh, yeah, I see. You had nowhere to go. All right, excellent. Well, thanks very much. I'm ecstatic to be here and back on the Berkeley campus. Watch this. This I'm going to start with. That looks really good. It's lovely to be here, and what a great day. It's nice for you to come inside because it looks really pretty outside. As Carol said, worked on the Berkeley campus 16 years. I see some of my former colleagues and current friends in the group, and I have a few folks from my office as well that have come down. So this is a great opportunity for us to get together. When I left and went to the office of the president, I was given a lot of Darth Vader-like things, you see. So I just wanted to let you know that I come from the dark side, but we're going green. We're all organic there. So this is great to be here. My goal for today is to be able to talk to you about a couple products that we have. You know, having worked in institutional research for so long and at Berkeley, going to the office of the president, I was trying to figure out the space where I think we can really add value and not duplicate the work that's done on campus. And I think campus IR folks, many of you are in here, are really good about knowing the students that you work with, the academic programs that you've got, and really being able to dive in and support academic and institutional leadership on the campus. And so the space that I think we can really provide support at system-wide level is to manage some of the reporting, to get that off your hands, and then to provide advocacy and support transparency efforts. And so wherever we can deal with things that come from the state or the feds, or be able to talk about the system as a whole and the kind of contributions it provides to the state of California and beyond, I think that's really important. And leveraging our institutional data to be able to do that, I think, is absolutely critical. And so today I get to show you a couple of the products that my team puts together. We're going to go over the accountability report. That should take about 4.5 hours. And then we'll talk. And then we'll show you the information center, which is a different way to do it. I think with all of these, you think about the audience that you're working with, and certain products work in different ways. And so these are two that we've definitely got out there. So I will start off and talk about the accountability report. And while Charlie's up in front, he barely got to sit down. I'm going to have him pass some of these out. This is a full copy of the report and some of the executive summaries that are there. And then you can kind of flip through and see some of this. And what I'll do is I'll talk to you and give you some of the highlights from the report this year. This is a report that we've put together. It's one of the cornerstone projects that we've got for our transparency efforts. It's our 8th edition of putting it out. It's something that we present to the regents on an annual basis, and it's something that we leverage a lot when we have conversations with the legislature and other groups. It's kind of, I called it an almanac. Before I took the job at the Office of the President, I was on a plane ride too, and I read through the entire report as well. So clearly this is what United Airlines should now include in all their flights. But it was a great opportunity. I knew quite a bit about the Berkeley campus, but this really goes over the operations of the University of California as a whole. And each of the campuses are so different, and then there are the labs and the medical centers. And this provides us a way to really kind of demonstrate that and use the data, which I thank the campuses for providing because that's where we get it. So it's really good. So what's gone around is a copy of the full report, and then it's intimidating when you look at it. It's a lengthy document. And so when I started a couple years ago, one of the things that I wanted to do was to put together an executive summary, a standalone document, which really kind of tells the story at a high level, pulls some of the key measures that we've got out of the report, but something that I thought would be easier for people to consume and a way that I might be able to get some of the legislators to take a look at it. The big document, I think, works with legislative staff. That helps on that piece, but this one is a piece where I thought that would be a way where we could kind of get people to know the overall story and then go in and dive into the full report. All this information is available on the web, so we'll go through and show you how you can get it, and then we'll talk about the info center. So that's my plot for the day. All right. So the highlights that I'm going to give you today are going to focus on some of the things that I shared with the regents, and some of those are legislators, at the July meeting. And one of our thoughts this year was to really pull out some of the indicators that we have that highlight the contributions that the University of California provides the state of California. We often do it in a lot of different ways. This way, we wanted to pull it together and think about our mission of teaching, research, and public service, and then show you with some of the measures that we have where we really stand out. And there's a lot of information in here, so as always, we're missing pieces when we do this. But this was our hope, was by talking about some of the measures on teaching, we could really illustrate to primarily the legislators in the room, but the role that we play in promoting social mobility and producing graduates that meet the state's workforce needs. And then when we talked about research, we wanted to highlight how this strengthens our economy by bringing in dollars to the state of California that otherwise wouldn't be here, and by conducting research that is on critical issues that really affect some of the things that the state is grappling with. And then our public research programs, which are numerous. They spread all across the state of California, far beyond our 10 campus locations, which I thought was really critical for us to be able to illustrate. Because I think when they think about us in comparison to the Cal State University system, which has a number of other campuses, this is one of the ways that we really want to be able to demonstrate the spread that we've got across the state, and that it's got significant impact far beyond those campus locations. So the first thing that we focused on when we talked about our teaching mission, and particularly the focus that we have with undergraduate students, was to think about the contributions that we make, particularly some of the students that we end up serving. And what this shows is this is the proportion of students that are first-generation students. They're among the first in their family to be able to go to college. And when we look at that for the University of California, we're over 40%, and we can compare that to other very selective public institutions or private institutions, which are about 36 and 25% for public and private. And it shows that we make a pretty significant contribution in bringing people into the higher education environment. In addition to that, we have a significant proportion of our students that are Pell Grant recipients. That's generally coming from families with incomes less than $50,000. When we look at other American Association of Universities, which are our peer institutions when we think about them, for the University of California. When we look at it for public institutions and private institutions, we dwarf them when it comes to the proportion that are there. 42% of our students are Pell Grant recipients compared to 22% for public institutions and 16% for privates in the American Association of Universities. So significant access for those students. In this case and with this audience, we also pulled in some measures where we looked at the Cal State University system. We don't usually do that within the report, but we have other reporting that we're required to do, including some performance measure reports. And so we were able to get some data for the Cal State system. So they're at 46%, a little bit higher. But it shows the role that both of these public systems provide in granting access to low-income students. And that's pretty significant. In addition to the system-wide numbers that we've got there, we have five campuses, and the data in the report go into campus detail in many cases. Five individual campuses that on their own enroll more Pell Grant recipients than the entire Ivy League combined. And so that's pretty significant. Those are Davis, Riverside, Los Angeles, San Diego, and Irvine. So when we look at our ability to kind of move the dial and promote social mobility, we do it on a scale that is significant when we think about access to those kinds of institutions. So it's definitely one of our points of pride. This one, which has got a lot on it, is focusing on graduation rates for freshman entrants. And our goal in this piece is to show not only are we providing these students access, but we're quite successful in getting them to graduate, and we're continuing to make improvements here. So what this shows is it shows four-year and six-year graduation rates over time. This is the entering cohort, so from the fall 1997 cohort to 2007. It's for the University of California, and again, our AAU peers, public and private. And then we included data in on the Cal State University system so that you can see some of the differences that are here. Now, we did this overall. This year, we added in information on Pell Grant recipients so we could see the graduation rates there as well. We have more data for our institutions, and some universities are you're required to provide this information. It was easier for us to get it on the Cal State University system for a few years. But it lays out a lot of different messages that are here, right? Some which I don't need to say. But one of the things is when we look at the UC system, we've seen improvements over time, particularly at the four-year rate, right? Over this time period, it's gone up 15 points from about 45% up to 60%. And there, we've had a little bit of tapering off. There is a concerted effort, many of you probably have heard, to focus on a variety of different strategies across the UC system to continue to look for ways that we can help make improvements in this area. So there's work to be done, and there's work going on. And so we're looking to see what those trends look like over time. In comparison to other institutions at the four-year rate, we're a little bit higher than our AAU publics at 55%. The AAU privates are up at 82%, and we saw some of the differences with the student bodies when we talked about the Ivy Leagues and other private institutions. And then when we look at the Cal State University system, 16% of their students graduate in 4 years. When we go to the six-year rate, you know, we've had some slight improvements over time. We're up at 83%. And then you can see some of the comparisons that are there with the other groups. The Cal State University system gets up to about 52% at that point in time. But one of the things in putting the data out there on the Pell Grant recipients, which is really important, we think, is that while there's a gap in graduation rates at the 6 year, at 4 years, when we get up to 6 years, it almost goes away. And so these students may take a little bit longer, but they are graduating at rates that are quite high and higher than other institutions within the state of California. And that's really important because when we talk about promoting social mobility, it's not just providing people access, but it's having them succeed here and then graduate. And what we found with the data that we've got is when we look at these Pell Grant recipients that do graduate, within 5 years of graduation, they end up earning more than their families did. So it's a measure for sure that we can point to that demonstrates that we're having an impact on it. And when we again think about the scale, the number of students that we're serving, that's significant when we think about improving the economy and the outcomes for our students. So that's really key for us. The other piece that we wanted to highlight with the regents and, again, the legislators was the contributions that we provide when we look at the degrees that are awarded. And what this chart shows us is it's a comparison of degrees in the state that are STEM-related in various fields and the proportion that the University of California provides compared to the Cal State University system and then other private institutions in the state. And this one, when we put it together in the performance indicators report, and now we've woven it into the accountability report, was something that was a little bit surprising for us. Because when we think about the number of campuses that we've got in comparison to the Cal State University system, we're actually providing about the same number, slightly more STEM degrees in the state than the Cal State system is. And particularly in fields of life sciences and physical sciences, about 60% of our undergraduate majors or our total majors, that's undergraduate and graduate together, are in the life sciences, are awarded through the University of California. Around 55% for physical sciences and around 40% for engineering and computer sciences. So as we think about California's economy and as it becomes more dependent on technology-related industries, the role that the University of California provides in creating graduates that end up serving in those fields is pretty significant. So those are some of the key highlights. I'm ending with an image that we've got here, and this talks a little bit about how we're trying to use the data with some of the outreach efforts that we've got. This image is part of our UC outreach efforts called The Power of Public. It's an effort for us to go out and illustrate the contributions that we provide to the state, both from our teaching, research, and public service missions, and how we benefit the state in tangible ways, and also maintain our identity as a public institution. And so there are going to be a series of images that we'll show you where we're playing with words about the public role that we've gotten. In this case, we talk about public works, and we're leveraging that concept to show that, or to frame the fact point that we've got, that 70% of our graduates within a couple of years graduate and then work within the state of California. And that's in fields that span, and there's some graphics in there. We'll show you some in the info center. We span industries of education, manufacturing, business, other fields that are there. So pretty significant to providing support in the state, and our folks generally stay here. Shifting over to the research side, we're now focusing on public transit as our concept that we are looking at. And with that, what we wanted to be able to highlight here is the role that the UC provides for the California economy in attracting both dollars and talent into the state of California. And that not only do we do that, but we create discoveries that really make a difference. I don't know if anybody remembers this image that's here, but this is research that was conducted on the Berkeley campus. It's an exoskeleton, and it allows people who have suffered from paralysis to be able to walk again. And one of those individuals that was able to use it was a student on the campus, Austin Whitney, and he was able to walk across the stage at his graduation using this device that was created. And so when we got to share that with the regents, you know, it's a story that demonstrates some of the specific things that we do in a way where when we talk about number of inventions or the dollars that are awarded, you know, that combination, I think, really helps talk about the kind of impact that we have. So this is key. And when we think about public transit, one of the things that we think about is the constant moving that we've got and the contributions that we make. Every day there are five new inventions that come from the University of California and the work that we end up doing. We're bringing in a lot of resources to the state. So $4.3 billion are spent within the state on research activities. Majority of that is coming from outside the state of California. We have over 12,500 active patents. And since, watch this, 1976, more than 840 startups were created with UC patents, and about 85% of those are in the state of California. So real significant contributions when we think about our research enterprise and the role that it ends up playing. In addition, and there was some stories that went on today about work that was done down in Southern California where UC was bringing together researchers across the state to talk about carbon neutrality and the role that that plays, and the governor was involved in those pieces. It's an effort that the president's definitely focused on trying to demonstrate the role that the UC can play in tackling some of the critical issues that California is facing through the research that we're conducting. In this case, what we were showing is the dollars that we're bringing in and spending that are focused on carbon neutrality goals, which is something that we've got within the system that we are working on. And this research is in areas of renewable energy, looking at alternatives to natural gas, energy efficiency. It spans the gamut. It also spans the disciplines that we have. I mean, often many of these things focus on STEM-related fields, but some of the research that's being conducted here is in arts and humanities and social sciences, and it's an effort to focus on ways that when we get discoveries that we've got that are going to help us focus on how to be carbon neutral, how we communicate that with different communities, and ways that we can do that that make it successful. And so that's some of the research that we've got that are going on. And an example of the way that we're trying to use data to talk about how we can help affect some of the work that's going on. The other piece here, and when we look at research activities, it relates to our health enterprises. And in the last year, we had over 2,800 clinical trial projects that were underway. When we look at this concept here of public defender, what we're focusing on are some of the research discoveries that we've had in the health-related field, like with the creation of this hepatitis B vaccine, which has saved millions of lives and helped millions more. It's another way where we can leverage some specific examples to talk about the role that we play. And our health operations are significant for the state of California. We operate the largest health science instructional program in the nation. And we educate half of the medical students and residents in the state of California through UC. We operate five medical centers there at Davis, Irvine, UCLA, San Diego, and San Francisco. And together they comprise the fourth largest healthcare delivery system in the state. And when we think about the workload that these UC medical centers provide, in the last year we had more than 159,000 inpatient admissions, 334,000 emergency room visits, and then 4.2 million outpatient visits. And it's not just the scale that's important, but the patients that we care for, almost 60% of them are covered by Medi-Cal, Medicare, or they're uninsured. So again, it's research that we're doing, and it's providing a significant public service that we've got and an important contribution to the state. We have five major trauma centers. They provide half of the state's organ transplants and a quarter of the extensive burn care in California. And so that resource is really critical because when health issues come up in the state of California has a resource that they can go to. And when we had the Ebola scare, the University of California was designated as the state's Ebola health care centers in the state of California. So all of this, again, is for us to be able to try to talk about ways that by meeting our teaching, research, and public service mission, we're providing significant contributions to the state. A puppy picture. Come on. So this is public service. This was one of the ways that we were talking about the thousands of programs that we've got, some on the Berkeley campus. This one here is an image of a program that goes on at UC Davis. It's a student-run mobile clinic, and this is set up to care for animals of homeless individuals. And so, again, you know, we have many of those. In fact, our optometry clinic does similar things where they'll go out into the community and provide services. The way that we've been doing this, which is a challenge and maybe a little harder to see, but you can see it in the material that's going around, is we're using maps as a way to demonstrate the spread of activities that we have. And we know that these are conservative numbers, but when we look at what this is a section of the state for California. The circles on the chart illustrate where we have campus locations, and the dots illustrate the spread of activities that we've got, along with the people that we employ and the alumni that we have. So when we think about the ag and natural resource centers, we've got 9 research and extension centers across the state and 57 cooperative extension offices in almost every county. Natural reserve systems, 39 sites and more than 750,000 acres, our nutrition, our health, our teacher preparation. There are just thousands and thousands of programs. So we always present this as being illustrative, and there's a picture in there that shows the state of California and just a spread. And that's the goal. We know that this isn't even counting what we actually have, but by doing this, it's really a way for us to talk about what we've got. Now watch. This is where I go to the web and I cross my fingers because you never know. So what I want to be able to do here is to show you how we're providing this information. This is our public-facing website. It's for the University of California as a whole. It's a place where people can go when they want to get information about admissions or the latest news stories for the state. It's a place where you can get links to each of the individual campuses. And then down at the bottom here, we have a link to the accountability report. So this is where you can always go in to get this information, all of which is being passed around, is available here on the website. And it goes through with all the chapters that we've got, and you can get a link to the executive summary. The table of contents gives you a sense of the spread of what we provide. So information on undergraduate admissions and enrollment, affordability and success, information on our graduate programs, our faculty and our staff. We have information about diversity of our population, so our faculty, students, and staff, teaching and learning, so the some of the examples of how we're providing instruction, and then our research activities. And then we get down to public service, the health enterprises, university finances and private giving, capital programs, honors, and then we have a lovely, which I'm sure, Carol, you enjoyed, the like data methodology section with definitions. It's thrilling. It's good stuff. So all of that information is available. So when people say that we're not transparent, we point them here. And then we say, what do you want to know? And let's start here, and then we'll see what we're not answering from there. So there's a lot of it, and the president is like excited about this. She's like, who says we can't find anything about UC? I'll show them. So, which is great. The full reports can be downloaded off of the web, so you can do that. And then we've got old reports that are in there. So it's a wealth of information across the system. And it's been a pretty successful way for us to demonstrate transparency, but also provide a source that everyone can go to. And we can talk some of the same initial numbers, and then we can dive into it and work with our campus colleagues to do that. One of the things that is a challenge with these pieces is that, you know, when you have a report like that, you're stuck to what the data is on the page, right? And so you can usually answer an initial question, but then people will have more that they want to get answers to. And so one of the things that we wanted to be able to do, again, thinking about different audiences and what ways that we can communicate, is we've created an interactive website called the Information Center. And this is another way that we're providing some of the same information for us to create a space where people can learn and explore more. So we provide top-level data, and then you can go in and filter it by campus or by different kinds of students. The way that we've constructed the data is that we have these tables over here on the right-hand side. Which basically are, as they sound, tables. We have dashboards that are more visual in nature, so data visualizations. And then we have these what we call storyboards under this Understanding UC section, which is basically a collection of dashboards where we have a key takeaway for what we think are critical issues regarding issues of affordability or social mobility or contributions to the state. And all of this, again, is a way to be able to get information out about the contributions that we make. We've set this up in a way where you can filter out some of the things that you want to be able to see and then just see the content related to particular subject areas. So, for example, here we've got pieces that focus on the undergraduate experience, and you can see we have data on admissions and enrollment and degrees awarded, splashing in pools, social mobility, diversity of our undergraduate population, STEM degree pipelines. I've got a friend in the back who is interested in that. Some of our UQ's data, our undergraduate student experience survey data, all at the system level. And some of our outreach efforts that we have. So there are ways that we're trying to make this better. It's in process. This came out in March, so we're very open for feedback on content. We also provide links to some other sources that might be useful. Our quick facts piece that has the primary statistics that we use about the system. Links to fact sheets, which are another way where we provide information where we need to have a leave behind. So it ranges a series of different topics, including honors and awards. So you can see Berkeley, the number one public institution, and how our institutions rank across national and international rankings. And then we also have links to some legislative maps. And if I have a moment, I will show you that. But what I'll do is I'll quickly show you a couple of the pieces. This has been quite successful for us. We've had over 45,000 visits to the site since we've had it up. So it's an active place. We work with our communications team so that when they send out press releases on different topics, we're like, we'll explore more about this topic or that. So it's a way that we're trying to engage people in looking at information about the system. This is by far our most popular thing. It's a table. And it has information on applications, admits, and enrolls by California High School. And then we also have it by California Community College. By far the most visited site by parents, counselors, prospective students, and alumni. I checked mine just to see how it's looking. And you can get this data for the system and for each of the campuses. So it's been a significant workload relief for a lot of our campuses and a lot of my staff that have to do this kind of reporting for one-offs that come in. And there's a data that goes from 2014 back to 1994. So you can look at how things have changed over time. We've started to expand information so you can take a look at the average GPA of these students and other things about race and ethnicity. As we continue to get more requests for these kinds of data that are useful, we think about this is one tool for us to be able to share that. So that is by far what's visited the most. The next that we've got here, and this is dashboards that we've created that focus on a wide range of topics that we have. We created one on state spending and corrections and education. That was a popular one. You see inventions at a glance. But this one here on community college enrollments. So what this provides is California Community College enrollments, and we present the data three different ways. So over here with this stacked bar chart, it presents enrollments by community college. So you can see some of the top feeder schools, so Santa Monica College, Diablo Valley, De Anza. For those of you in admissions, these are familiar names. We also present the data by campus, so you can look for fall 2014, the number of community college students that went to each of the campuses. And then we present it along a map where the size of the circle represents the enrollment. The color of the circle represents the primary campus that those students go to. And this is a place, again, the data goes from 2014 back to 1994, so a lot of trend data that's in there that you can go in and look at. But it's all interactive. And so it's a spot where we could go in and we could focus on UC Berkeley and then see what the top feeder institutions are for that and how that changes, or other institutions like Merced. And where they primarily pull. And so in many cases, what we find is like community colleges that are closely located are ones where they go, but it's not always the case. And this tool was used by our academic senate when they were having some of these discussions they're having on transfer pathways as a way to demonstrate why having consistency is important, because we're pulling from students across the state, even though we know that we primarily get them from a few of the main ones. So that's another piece that we've got in here that demonstrates what we're trying to do in the dashboard section. The last one I'll show you is one of the storyboards that we've got. And this one is focusing on undergraduate outcomes. This, again, is a way where we've got a collection of dashboards that we have. And we have a primary takeaway at the top that helps frame the data that's in there, and then people can go in and look and explore. So what this shows here is that the number of bachelor's degrees at the University of California has grown over time. We present this information as a total. We present it by discipline, so you can see where we primarily provide awards. You can look at the data by campus, and so you can look at some of the changes that have occurred over time and what it looks like for Berkeley versus what it looks like for Merced, and it just gives us a way to present that information. Degrees awarded used to be the primary way that we would talk about outcomes. That was the contribution that we'd end up making, and with some of the challenges we've got with data, it was one of our better sources. But recently, we've been able to get data from the California Employment Development Department, and that allows us to tie our graduates into the state workforce roles. It's not perfect, but it does begin to give us a way to talk about the contributions that we make for students that graduate and go on to work in California. This one here, which we pointed out in the accountability report, shows within 2 years, about 70%, this is the yellow line that we've got here, of our graduates match this data source, which isn't an employment rate in the state, but it shows at least we know those ones are the ones that are ending up working in the state. We can look at it by residency, so we can look at how that varies for California residents or what it looks like for domestic non-residents. So within that, we have about 50% that stay within the state of California. But again, it gives us a way to go in and take a look at that. I like to think of it as a match rate for the data set. This then focuses on employment industries within the state of California. And we've presented it two ways. One is a lovely, we're going to make T-shirts of these. It's very colorful. And then the other one is an easier way to see what the trends are over time. But these are the different industries that we've got, and it shows over time a decrease in the number of students that end up working in retail and wholesale, growth for our graduates in healthcare, K through 12. In fact, we have quite a significant proportion in there, and other industries. So again, another way where we talk about contributions. We can change this by discipline, and then you can see what some of the differences are within there. And then we go into earnings, which is the primary reason we were given this data, which was to tell people how much they can make. The piece that we wanted to be able to show, and a lot of these things like pay scale or other things that go out, they'll take a point in time and they'll talk about how much you end up making in different fields. And so what we wanted to do was to be able to start to talk about trajectory. And overall, what we find is that our graduates go on and they double their earnings between 2 and 10 years. So that's our primary takeaway that we have at the top. And what you're able to do here is to take a look at differences by individual major and see what that looks like for different fields. And you can see the differences in trajectory that exist within there. And then the last thing that we have here is a link to other resources. I mean, by far, one of the areas where we're providing a lot of information is about the value of a college degree. So if none of those there worked on helping demonstrate the role that we're playing in graduating these students and getting them to work in the state and contributing to industries, we also have these other research studies that have been done that really talk about some of the economic contributions that we're making, that our graduates make, and that we, some of the reasons we believe that investing in higher education, investing in higher education at the University of California is really, really important and critical. So maybe what I'll do is I'll stop there and open it up and see if there are any questions or comments. I've got my team here that are taking notes if we've got feedback. Yes. Hello. Hello.
So on their face, these reports provide substantive data.
Yes. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's being recorded. So let's...
Okay.
Yeah, please.
We have to turn it off.
Are we on? Yes.
Yeah, that
okay.
Sounds good.
On their face, these reports substantiate and quantify the value that we have to the state and the economic value, the impact that we have. But in the 8 years we've been producing these reports, our state investment has actually gone down. So what are the strategies that Office of the President to use this data in a way that the legislators don't say we're able to do all this in spite of their disinvestment, but rather that they need to make even greater investment?
Right. So, you know, I think we're taking multiple approaches. I think one of the strategies that we've got is to focus on common ground. Places where we have issues that we both want to work on. So one example that we've got, again, was that conference that occurred yesterday down in Southern California focusing on climate change and the role that UC Research is providing. We invited the governor's office to participate in that discussion. And part of that is a way where we can really work with them and partner with them and demonstrate how the University of California can be an asset. So we are using that as one of the strategies that we've got. We were buddies with the state of California over the last year, providing them a significant amount of information about the University of California. And we have a significant amount of work where we're going to be leveraging specific things that UC campuses are doing across the system now to try to continue to make some of the improvements that we have. But, you know, the conversation that we have, we do it several different ways. We use several different tools. Part of what our hope in providing this kind of information is that sometimes the University of California advocating for the University of California isn't as strong as when groups like the Campaign for College Opportunity or Public Policy Institute of California go out and advocate for the role. I mean, PPIC has been talking about the need for 1 million bachelor's degrees, and giving them access to this site and this kind of information is a way that we're hoping they're going to leverage it and infuse this in the research to say, look at the graduation rates that you've got if you want to think about bang for the buck. So we are thinking about different ways and for sure getting more and more information out there so that parents and students and, you know, outside groups can have the same kind of conversations that we've been having with the state. And our hope is in liberating the data that we have a lot of different voices out there that are talking about it. And I think we're starting to see some shifts, and I'm hopeful for the future. Hope is my middle name, though.
Thank you.
Is it on? Okay.
It is. Hey, David.
Hi. How and or if do you present data where our statistics where the University of California doesn't look so great?
Mm-hmm. Now, what would that be?
Yeah. I never thought of anything. But.
Exactly. Well, so again, we think about who the audiences are. I mean, one of the things that we did within our office was we provided research about graduation rates. A lot of times at the system level, we'll present it at a system level. This is one place where we're starting to provide more data at the campus level. But when we looked at grad rates and some of the factors that are there, we have differences between campuses. We have different gaps between different groups. And we use that as a way to have an internal discussion. And we had a conference back in January where we brought people together, talked about best practices, ways that campuses were working on it. So that's a place where some of the data that we show you at the top that we present shows improvements, but there are definitely gaps. And when we look at it by campuses, there are different numbers that you see within there. So while I see some improvements, I like to think of them as rooms for improvement. But that's a place where we're likely going to produce the data, share it internally, have a conversation among the campuses. I think we learn best from one another about how to use it. But there'll be some other places where we'll show it as a challenge that we're presenting to the state. So the purpose varies, I guess. But we are trying to use it for both. But for sure, some of these will be more positive than others.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm really glad that there is this increased focus on the policy implications of this data, which I think is extremely useful. And I'm wondering if there are additional areas that you feel you hope you will get into or worries about misunderstanding of the data.
Yeah.
And as you were talking, a couple of things came to my mind. These are long-standing issues. One is understanding the role of graduate education and graduate students. So, for instance, you talked about the workforce for graduates.
Right.
And I assume, unless you've taken them out, those are only people with bachelor's degrees, but large segments of our students go on for graduate degrees, so it's not a problem
right.
that they're not right in the workforce. They're continuing their education. So that's one area. And the other is arts and humanities. We
yeah.
have so much wonderful focus on STEM,
yeah.
but how do we, ongoing challenge, how do we get attention of legislators and other policymakers to the value of humanities and arts and
right.
non-STEM.
Yeah. So we do present some information in the accountability report that talks about graduate education and the contributions it provides into the state. It's true that population sometimes it is a little bit more mobile. So there'll be some differences there. But we do work on that. It's also true a lot of the focus is often on undergraduates and STEM. So those are for sure there. We are continually working on trying to think about ways to improve the way that we present this information. And arts and humanities is one of those. So with that, when we had the discussions with the state of California, we were presenting some of the roles, and in that case in particular, when we talked about research and the contributions for carbon neutrality, we wanted to pull out examples that might not have stood out that were in humanities fields and in social sciences as a way to talk about it. But our data is not super great. We've been adding in more information on publications in some places, and that gives us some spots where we're able to do it. But we're also extremely open on other suggestions and ideas on where we can strengthen the kind of data and the way that we do it. I'll say we're trying a variety of different things, stories with the images, the data that we end up having, responses from graduates, different ways to try to be as comprehensive, but there are areas where we can make improvements.
Oh, thanks. The accountability report was started by President Yudof.
Yes.
During his administration. What kinds of changes has President Napolitano instituted and implemented, both in terms of the content of the report and in terms of the usability of it?
Yeah. So I think the Information Center is one example. I mean, it's great to give the president any data. She uses it. In fact, I was at a talk that she gave with the public policy school, and I was checking off the stats that she used. And so she leverages this, and she uses this as part of her effort to demonstrate when there are stories out there that we're not being transparent, that we are. She thinks the report is extensive. I tried to frame it like Goldfinch, and that didn't work. So then we talked about different ways that we could get this information out. And I think it is thinking about audiences and ways to communicate information. The executive summary is one way where we tried to take some of the real key takeaways so that you'd have an overarching story that would talk about the depth and breadth of the system. So that's one place. And then the info center is another way that we're doing it. I would say having that as a resource, one of the biggest things that the president is pushing is to try to get consistency. And so for us to be able to use that as the first place that media relations goes, that others in the office go, that the speechwriters go, is at least allowing us to focus on what the story is instead of why is this number different. So those might be some of the things that are in there which demonstrate some use that is out there. She is very interested in content. And so it's very lucky for us that we've got it and that we're able to provide it. And there are places where she's pressing us to try to get better and better data, and I think research is one area that we're looking at other options that give her a way to really talk about the impact that we have beyond just expenditures and awards. So I see Mark in the back too. I know he's been raising his hand for a bit.
I yield.
And then we go back to Amber. I know. No. Oh no. Oh no, Amber.
Pamela, I want to go back to the first question you got and press just a little bit. If I were a politician listening to your presentation, I would conclude that the last thing we want to do is raise tuition in the UC system because we're doing such a great job and we have all of these students from disadvantaged backgrounds and we don't want to hurt them. But the story that you and Chancellor Bergeneau and company let us all know about for a long time was that the return to aid system in UC is such that tuitions effectively soak the rich policy that and holding tuition without increases hurts the quality of education for lower income students, while raising tuition basically allows the families who are easily able to afford higher tuition to help pay for it. And I didn't see a slide that addresses that, and it's an important story that our governor doesn't seem to understand. And it seems to be a hard sell, but it's discouraging because it's, you know, ultimately, you know, indefinite freeze on tuition damages the very students that these people think they're trying to help by freezing tuition. Where is that story?
Right. Well, so this is one piece of the story that we talk about. And so this is the focus that we've got, just to make sure I'm going to hit this right. About the importance of tuition and what that does to providing us expanded access. So this one here, this is the affordability storyboard that we've got. And what we've basically done is gone through to talk about sticker price or total cost and then what net cost looks like and how that varies by different income groups, family income groups. And so what you can see is over this period of time, even when tuition had gone up, the cost for undergraduates at the lower income level has actually gone down, right? And, you know, we're starting to look at some of the middle income family groups as an area that we want to be able to look at. What we've been able to work out with the governor's office is that while tuition's going to remain flat for the next couple years, we're going to build in predictable increases over time. And so that is definitely part of the work that we've done and part of the agreement that was made when we had the budget negotiations this year. It was just a very hot political topic for sure last year. And so the focus is for the next two to keep that flat. But this was part of the data that we wanted to be able to show that as we were increasing the tuition over this time period, which was definitely going on, this was the effect that it had. And when we think about our lower income students, those were not the ones that were ending up paying more. So that's for sure one of the ways that we're doing it. And then we go in and we talk about what debt levels look like, and we're keeping an eye on that. But that's one part of the way that we're trying to tell that story.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I just wanted to thank you. You know,
our local team has benefited greatly from sending the media to the info center. Just go to the info center. Don't bug us.
Oh, I like that. Center.
It's awesome. I really appreciate the tension that you guys, and I'd like to see how you guys are managing it between the tension of being transparent with data, but not losing control of your narrative.
Right.
And I really appreciate, I've seen it develop. I've seen how you're doing that. And so I think it's really, it's a hard thing to do once you become transparent. You don't want to lose control of your narrative. So I really appreciate what you guys have built and how it's evolved.
That's great. Thank you. And this is like an open conversation, right? We're a public institution. Our group wants to be able, if you think of ways, other things that we could do that would improve the way that we tell the story that we've got, we'd be very, very interested in hearing that.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
So I want to follow up to something that Mark was talking about, which is, do you have a section on sort of the unmet gaps that could, or the impact of state divestment in terms of, you know, we've had growth in a lot of areas, but we're still falling short of where we want to be in terms of many areas, and how, like, is there a section on what we could do more with further investment in terms of, you know, it's great that we're doing better than so many institutions in terms of low-income students, but we're still not meeting all the need, and there's unmet needs around, we're meeting fees, but we're not meeting things like housing, we're not meeting things like food security, healthcare, things like that. Are there ways that we can use this to push for the places where we're not doing as well as we want to be, but part of that is because we don't have support either because of explicit legislation like, say, Prop 209 or because of divestment in terms of state funding?
So some of that information that we provide is often in some of the topic briefs that we end up sharing, and we haven't necessarily integrated all of that in here. One of the things that we've put in the report in that same storyboard was information about debt levels and the percent of students that are having to borrow. And so we're starting to see a little bit of an uptick there. When we look at our graduate programs and our graduate students and we look at the increasing debt level that they have in some areas, those are going up. And so we're trying to have a conversation with them about some of the costs that are in there and need to provide additional support. So I'll say we did a lot of work last year presenting information that showed state disinvestment and showed increases in high school graduates. We also did it where we showed what the Department of Finance projected, which every year they projected that it was going down, and every year it went up. And so we created a graphic which showed a series, 10 series, and one on top of one another that showed Department of Finance says it's going down, 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 down. Every year it goes up, 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 up. They're telling you now it's going down. We're telling you it's going up. And we showed them information that was graduation rates for our high school graduates, and they weren't accounting for the growth and graduation rates for Latino students, which is the largest group that we've got. And so we've been using a lot of that to say these estimates that you have, which help suppress what we could consider as an investment, are not right. And so that's one way where we're talking about there's capacity and need out there, and without the enrollment support, you know, we could provide more support for these students if we could do it. And then we've tried other ways to talk about disinvestment and some of the effects about, again, individual students and the costs that they've got or the debt levels. There is a big focus. I mean, the campuses have been doing a lot to provide patching, to continue to provide as much support and services for students. So even through some of those really tough times, some of the measures don't come out as strong. So I'll say we've shared data, not necessarily in this format, as a way to talk about some of the effects that are there and the capacity and need. And so we just think about which ones we end up putting in different places.
Hi, thank you. This is great information and looking forward to reviewing it. Quick question is, eventually will this data help answer questions about how this money or whether it's through tuition or federal aid, getting spent and how it performs in the sense of taking that, you know, increase in tuition, for example, where is that increase going?
Yeah.
Are those programs or departments actually increasing quality or results versus the ones that don't?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. So it's, you know, our data systems are challenging at times. And so the financial systems, I've got Jim here, those are challenging for us to be able to show these funds are coming in and this is exactly where they're going. And in fact, university fund accounting is amazingly complicated, and it makes it even more complicated for folks on the campus to spend funds that way. And I know there's a push to try to consolidate funds quite a bit and give more flexibility for funding. So it's actually often a challenge, though some would think it would be really easy for us to say, you've increased your student tuition by this amount. Exactly where did those dollars go? Because it comes in to a general fund and then it gets spent out on a variety of places. But we do go through and we work with our campuses to try to pull that information out. So at a system level, it's not easy for us to do it in a way where I think we can really tell the kind of story that we need to be able to tell, which would be, you know, specifically what programs were getting a bump or not. We get the accounts and the funds, and it's just not as useful a story, though we are often asked about that. And so that's one of the places where we end up partnering with campus financial offices and piecing together information and then trying to take the data that we've got to talk about it in a way that's better.
So I know your brief is UC, clearly, but the genius of the master plan is the symbiosis among the different elements of higher education in California. And some of the most interesting questions are intersegmental questions.
Right.
And I wonder whether you could talk about how we might get better data to answer some of those questions.
That's a hypothetical, isn't it? So you know, we used to have CPEC, which was an organization that collected all this information and allowed that kind of data source to exist that would provide that kind of review. The governor vetoed funding for that. And then the segment offices came together with the K through 12 group and also the group on alumni, the California Employment Database group, to try to work to construct something that would do that. That didn't work, in part trying to figure out where it would be housed and all of that, and so instead we set up an agreement that we would share data across the system, and we've done that. So when we were doing the budget negotiations over the last year, we worked with the California Community Colleges and the Cal State University on projections, and we shared the projections that we had on what we saw for high school graduates based off of the data that we could provide. We tried to look at what that would mean for capacity at the different institutions, but it's definitely on an ad hoc basis. So I know we are working on some efforts to think about what it would take to reconstitute that and run it in a different way. And so that's additional work that we're looking at and what that would take to do it. But I know there are groups that are interested in that. It would help us talk about the need for the state as a whole. And so it is really thinking about what it would take to be able to do it, where it would get housed, and all those good things.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.